wrong side of pond. He is DJ Schweitzer.
Hi.
I am Jeremy Lance. Hello. Not much happened this week in American soccer, so this will be a quick show.
Yeah, nothing like a nuclear bomb has dropped
in
the sport within our country, and everything's been turned upside down, right side up.
So since we last talked, we thought the worst thing or the most insane thing that could happen in a seven-day period was the U.S. not qualifying for the World Cup.
Then a team decided to move.
Uh-huh.
Then a second division decided to prop itself up with semi-professional teams.
Right.
Then,
well, they're technically not second division. Or at least they won't be.
Well, you know,
what they're attempting to be. Yeah. Or at the fact.
A league that desires to be first division and props itself up with semi-professional teams.
Well, we're talking about the desire. I think they desire actually to be first division.
second division teams going away?
Yep. Or just going somewhere else.
Lawsuits.
Like to Canada.
Presidential elections. People being involved in those presidential elections. It's been mayhem. It's never, ever ever been this crazy soccer-wise in this country, at least in the modern era.
No, I'm going to say like last December when the whole like D2 sanctioning thing was coming out, I thought that was peak American soccer. Like, wow, things are getting insane. Like, one week it's this, next week it's that. Like, where's it going to end? Like, is this last year we were talking in, you know, December or we're leading up to that whole decision, like, oh man, NASL, they're going to be done this year, right? Like, this offseason is where they die.
I think there was a lot of speculation.
There was a lot of craziness all around that, and mm-hmm. we were all following that, and we thought, wow, this is insane. How could it get more insane? And then 2017 said, hold my beer.
We're going to make it crazier. Yeah,
we're going to make it that much more insane. So we have all of that to talk about. Plus, oh yeah, there was Premier League. It was even Champions League. I don't even think we're going to be able to get to that. Teams did stuff.
I definitely squeeze in some Champions League comments.
Okay.
But that's the most we're going to get to it.
Yeah. It's
because there's been that much.
Big show.
All right. So because we have to do this, let's rip off the Band-Aid that is fantasy so that we can get into the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos.
The real stuff that feels like fantasy at some point.
Yeah, that's right. The fantasy world provided us with additional chaos, though. After 9 shows at the top, Jackson Fambrough's Mad King's reign has been unseated by Neymar record by Didier Drogba. Didier Drogba. We're assuming again that this isn't the real Didier Drogba, but not been proven otherwise. But he's back on top for the first time this season. I improved 24 places to 98th.
Ooh,
yeah, you improved 6th.
Ah.
6 places to 96.
So this in the Premier League one?
Yeah, but you're still ahead of me by 2 spots.
I felt good about today or this week because I captained Harry Kane. He had a brace.
I also captained him, but
it's like 32 points, I think.
These damn Friday games, they just always muck me up.
Yeah, I'll get you.
Didn't have time to adjust it.
No, it got me the fact that I have been starting a keeper that has been injured for quite a long time.
There you go. In the MLS League, designated failures by Derek Friedman, as we had predicted, 10 shows in a row, 101 point gap. He is the champion of the
now. Yeah, it's over.
Ended MLS USL season. You and I both finished plus or minus 0 from where we started a couple weeks back.
So I'm in last place?
Yep.
Mm.
I am in 48th, so I'm 9 points ahead of you. Mm. So not a lot. So there's your fantasy update. How about that? Nice and quick.
Let's get into the real stuff. We'll start in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the big teams that actually did well this weekend.
Yeah, there were a few of them.
Let's start with your guys. You're still wearing your... your Spurs, you're going half kit wanker.
Yeah, half kit wanking. I'm not going to wear some navy blue shorts with this today, anyway.
No. Spurs 4-1 winners over Liverpool. Discuss.
I don't know. So first off, I went out and watched this game for a little bit. That was nice.
Yeah.
Secondly,
you and the wife got out.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. Beers.
Diving right into that off season, huh?
Yeah, as quick as you can. Spurs dominant throughout this game, but not that crazy dominant. Almost completely doubled in possession percentages, but their defense held tight, countered deadly, really took advantage of their opportunities, and overwhelmed Liverpool pretty quickly.
Let's talk about Liverpool. So can't hand a brace.
Yeah.
Dele Alli, who scored the other?
Son.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Good on him.
It was Kane, then Son like 2 minutes later, and then Son hit the bar 2 minutes after that. So almost three right off the bat.
Let's talk Liverpool for a second, though.
Okay.
What's happening there? I mean, we talk about this a lot. Clearly, there's parts missing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've hit a part where we've had enough windows. Klopp can't say he doesn't or hasn't been able to get the stuff he needed because he's had windows to do it.
I think he's past the point where he can say, I didn't know this needed to be fixed. I think he knows it needed to be fixed, but he's trying to fix it in different ways than addressing those issues directly.
So let's hit the blunt question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jurgen Klopp in trouble?
Nah.
I don't feel that way.
We've not seen an emergency meeting where the owners fly over, drop this point off.
Right.
Yeah, like, we've not gotten there yet. And they've done that before, so...
Remember, they finished second, Brendan Rodgers. For as much as we malign him and talk about how he's got, cap teeth, and it's just basically the human embodiment of David Brent.
Sure.
He finished second with that team.
I mean,
granted, that was a Luis Suarez team, and they were pretty good.
I mean,
but Klopp kind of needs to start making it happen, right?
Well, I think at some point or another you have to ask that, but how quickly they're willing to transition, how often they're willing to invest in the squad, those are the type of things that Klopp needs to learn how to balance a little bit better. Whether he does that remains to be seen, but if he could get that area of it wrapped up a little bit. I don't know. He's a manager that certainly has like a plan.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like there are a lot of other managers that don't have that. But at the same time, he's one that doesn't seem to put in the pieces that you need to be successful with that particular type of plan.
You like the guy. Like, he's a very likable guy. So
for sure.
As much as I'm not a Liverpool guy, like, I kind of want to see him succeed just because of the fact of, like,
because he does.
I like
so
that
well.
Guy, and I believed in what he was doing at Dortmund.
Like, sure,
saw that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool struggling.
They are
struggling to be the team they're supposed to be that they were advertised that they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
However, Tottenham, right there in third, level on points with United. We'll get to their fun weekend here in a moment. Let's move over to top of the table, City.
Mm-hmm.
They get an easy 3-0 victory this week against, Bournemouth? Burnley?
Yeah.
One of those teams?
Yeah, Burnley.
Hey, let's go with that one.
Yeah, sure.
They beat Burnley.
Comfortably.
3-0.
Comfortably.
Comfortably. So the train just keeps moving for City. They're rolling. 32 goals scored so far this season. That's 9 matches into the season. They are at 32 goals. They have more goals than Liverpool, Newcastle, and Everton combined.
Ooh. What a stat that is. What a stat that is.
Yeah, the three of them only combined for 31 goals. Liverpool or City has scored 32 goals, and I think it was conceded like 4.
Yeah. How about that?
Talk
about fine-tuned machines.
5 points ahead.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to give you, to take $5 to a bookie,
mm-hmm.
and he's giving you City or the field, what are you taking at this point?
Oh, man. City. What,
you're putting the $5 on City, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You have to. They're the most informed side, undoubtedly. The question becomes whether or not any of this is allowed to stand. There's a lot of questions about how they've been motivated, what's going on with the team.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Arsenal. Arsenal 5. Everton 2.
Everton in 18th.
Everton, yeah, that was one of the points on here.
Yeah.
Bullet point. Everton, back in the drop zone. That's a problem. Koeman, he's got to be out here soon, right?
You presume so.
You know, that club spent so much. I mean, I think that's, you could look at it both ways. The club spent so much money, so obviously you need to make it happen now. Or the club spent so much money, so they're going to try to ride it out.
Yeah.
And hope that he can turn this thing around.
Well, sounds like they're going to try to buy their way out of it.
Yep.
And it's predictably not going all that well.
No. How about Mesut Ozil? Rumors this week that, hey guys, I'm going to United. Either in January or the summer.
Then he balls out of control.
Yeah.
Not that unusual.
Yeah.
Just play with whoever makes you feel like you're playing the best.
So he dominated.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, he absolutely did. He's the type of guy that seems like he plays when there's something on the line that could impact him pretty greatly.
Yeah, Arsenal, you know, it's funny with them because, you know, they're fresh off a loss to Watford.
Sure.
And obviously anytime that's the scenario, you're talking about the sky falling for a club that, especially their fan base, has really started to run out of sympathy and patience with their manager.
Sure.
But yet here they are, you know, getting a big victory over a terrible side that is Everton.
Everton's problems run super deep at the moment. I think they're a club that stockpiled well for a little while, but didn't necessarily think of the future enough when they were digging through everything and trying to get themselves set up for the things that were to come. And now we're getting to see what happens when that goes down.
Let's move on to, we talked about United, we mentioned them a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
Things did not go well for them. They lose to Huddersfield.
David Wagner for USA. Can we start that hashtag now?
I think this win officially makes him too good for the job.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like if it was in doubt at all.
We're too past it.
Yeah. He's above it.
Guys, I have a future in European coaching. I'm going to stick with this train for a little while at least.
Some people pointing out that Wagner kind of throwing Jose medicine right back at him, kind of playing somewhat of a negative football game to eke out this win. Something kind of Jose'd this game.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Something along those lines.
I guess something like that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it from the United angle. Is this just a hiccup or you know, cracks starting to form? I mean, this is only 1 point over the last two match days. Are they starting to kind of fall back to earth a little bit, or are they actually finally going up against, I would say going up against real opponents? They just played Huddersfield and lost. You know, that was kind of more the comment thrown out last week when they played Liverpool and couldn't get a goal. Are they coming back down to earth? What are they just problems that they have always been there, finally showing those cracks? What is it? You got something?
No. I thought I did, and then it was gone.
I get. Do we just chalk it up as just, hey, you're just going to mess up sometimes? Like, I don't know what to make of this match. Like, because you feel like, okay, you know, if they go out and they lost to Liverpool, or they lose to City, you go, well, okay, whatever. That's just going to happen, you know, even if you're a good side, even if you're a title-contending side. But you just dropped a 2-1 loss at Huddersfield.
I think it's a symptom of a couple different things. Like, they weren't all that great in the midweek in Europe.
Right.
And a lot of people are starting to creep in with this talk of, like, oh, it's negative United, and it's Jose, and maybe it is that. Like, maybe we're seeing the downside of Jose football and how many times can you pull that feat off? He's done it with Chelsea. He's done it with Inter. He's almost done it with Madrid. And to think about how he's able to do that with a club like Madrid, and then now Madrid are back to their free-flowing form. I don't know. It seems like he is kind of reaching a point where people are kind of figuring him out a little bit, and it's not necessarily as effective as it used to be. But it's also a quarter of the way through the season. There's plenty to be done in all the competitions they find themselves in still. So it's not like they're 20 points behind or anything along those lines.
All right, let's whip around the rest of the Premier League. We'll start with Chelsea. They were the first match of the Saturday. Chelsea 4, Watford 2, and this match took a dark turn for Chelsea at one point.
Yeah, it really did.
I had a bit of a Twitter meltdown. I'm going to throw it out there.
Yeah, I was hoping you would touch on that because that made for an enjoyable start to the day.
I was coming apart at the seams.
Yeah.
I may have, during the period that Watford equalized and then took the lead and had the lead, I may have suggested that A, the team was terrible.
Yeah.
B, that, and I would say this is actually is very true, on that, on one of the goals, I think it was the second goal they gave up, possibly the worst defending ever authored by a Chelsea back line in the past decade or so.
I'll be fair, it was up there.
It was next level bad, especially considering they gave up the very same play mm-hmm. 2 minutes beforehand, and it just the whoever it was for Watford just completely scuffed his shot.
Okay,
because they were given an open goal and half the box to work with to score a goal once, whiffed, and then had the same opportunity 3 minutes later and finally scored.
So that one was at least meant to be yours.
Right. That one was meant to be. I also may have suggested that if I was Antonio Conte, I would actually just quit
mm-hmm.
Chelsea, because Chelsea had clearly already quit on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
Which may actually still be true.
Well, I'm not ruling it out at this point, but it does look like a team that was just like, no, we're not doing this for you today.
And then the much maligned and a man who was removed last week during the Crystal Palace match, inside the opening hour,
mm-hmm.
from his starting spot, Michy Batshuayi comes on and out of nothing scores this goal, gets on the end of this cross when really Chelsea just didn't have much going for them at all.
No, and for a guy who's really struggled to make an impact in the opportunities he's had, how opportune, too.
Yeah, so he comes to the rescue there by equalizing, and then Azpilicueta, the guy who many believe who should actually be the captain of this mm-hmm. Chelsea side.
Damn it, Dave.
As freaking Gary Cahill is just being raked over the coals. I forgot, was it this match or the midweek match that he had to go the old school, Terry Butcher, and have the gauze wrapped around his head?
I think it was the one previous to this.
Okay, it might have been the Champions League match in the midweek.
Whatever looks the most English. Yeah.
But that happened. So Dave gets it 3-2, and then in the dying embers, you had Batshuayi getting his brace.
Sure.
Chelsea survived this one, look good at the end of it all, but a match that, yeah, you're right, they just looked like they were kind of hanging out in first gear for large portions of this match.
Well, first gear seems about right.
I would chalk it up to Chelsea has enough talent where they were able to win this one without actually playing good enough to win. But there was just so much.
Yeah.
They just have so much talent that they were just able to.
Oh, we'll be able to grind this one out.
To knock in 3 goals.
Look, we're okay to be able to get through this one, but no one else has to show up. And then everyone suddenly had to fight a little bit for it. But as you said, good things to come from that, maybe.
Yeah. So they swap places, essentially, with Watford as they now move into fourth place, jumping down on the scoreboard. Newcastle get the 1-0 victory over Crystal Palace. So Crystal Palace, apparently it was just just when they play Chelsea that they're able to do anything.
Sure.
As they, once again, did not score a goal. So that's 8 matches out of 9 that they did not score in open the season.
They came away from that last victory and were like, oh, look, if we can beat that side, then we can beat anyone. Oh, or maybe not.
Or not.
Yeah.
Or not, as Newcastle grabbed this one. Actually, I believe they ended up scoring in the 86th minute, so they left it super late. They get the win, much needed for Wafa and crew. Stoke City needed to bounce back, as they were pummeled last week. They gave up 7, so not good news for them as they continue to not do well. They gave up the win, 2-1 win to a still currently, I believe, in the danger zone, Bournemouth. 2-1 there.
Mm-hmm.
Bournemouth scoring 2 early in this match. Stoke never able to fully come back in this one. You know, two teams that are not having good seasons here.
No, I mean, neither
Stoke one obviously are. Having a very bad season.
Sure.
And then I think it's gone so under the radar that, by the way, Stoke in 17th. Very under the radar, though, that Bournemouth with Eddie Howe, the next England manager. Oh, the next Arsenal manager. Oh, the next. He's in 19th.
Yeah.
Bournemouth is in 19th. They made all those moves.
Mm-hmm.
Grabbed some pretty good players. You know, bought Nathan Ake from Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Brought in Jermaine Defoe on a free. It looked like they were doing enough, and yet here they are in a year where I think they're going to take that next step again. Right there with Everton, another team we thought, hey, going to make another step.
They're going to be okay. They always are.
They're both in the relegation zone.
Yeah. Just a look at the bottom end of the table right now. It has a field full of teams that are regulars over the Premier League the last couple seasons. And I think that may draw a little bit of a line in the sand as to why we're seeing these teams in here. Palace, Bournemouth, Everton, Stoke, United, West Ham.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, not the other one. Swansea, Leicester. These are all clubs with 10 points or less in 9 matches. It seems like we're already seeing a group take shape that aren't going to really be reliable this year. Like, if you're someone who's coming in and you want something new, are any of these teams going to be able to do it for you? And I don't think any of them, in the time being, at least until January, have anything coming through the pipeline that's going to change stuff. Because they've been so worried about what's going on in Canada to protect on what's going on over here that they can't make it all work.
Other matches real quickly. Brighton Hove Albion get a 3-0 victory. That was back on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Over West Ham, as you mentioned. The other United, the one that's doing really bad.
Yeah, the bad United.
And then Leicester get a 2-1 win over Swansea City. As the Swans continue to struggle. And in a match that was written up as a 0-0 draw, you're in luck. There was at least one goal. Southampton beat West Brom and made NBC seriously considering why they put all the 12:30 matches on the network.
Yeah, that was a bad choice.
It's a terrible idea.
Real quickly, back to Leicester City. They did fire Craig Shakespeare this week.
Oh, yeah, that did happen as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't all crazy stuff on this side of the pond. There was other.
There's reserved craziness that just goes around to everyone, and
so
you take your weekly dose.
So how about the names being thrown out there for this manager job?
Obviously, the U.S. job. Or the Leicester
job. The Leicester
job,
the one you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Craig Shakespeare for U.S. soccer?
Well, I mean, that I would consider that probably an upgrade over Bruce Arena.
It probably would be.
People are suggesting that Leicester are going to try to poach Sean Dyche from Burnley.
Who? That would be a pretty ballsy move.
Yeah. Ballsy for Leicester, ballsy for Sean Dyche to jump ship.
Both.
Yeah. And then, there's also a lot of talk now. We mentioned it earlier. Koeman's going to be out. The Everton gig. who takes that job?
Ooh. Look,
you heard the name that was floated around this week, right?
Was it? It can't be.
It rhymes with Avid Oyes.
Oh boy!
If David Moyes comes back to Everton,
the only thing that could make it funnier would be Jurgen Klinsmann.
Klinsmann or Big Sam.
Okay, that one would be funny too. All of those would be funny. But Moyes himself coming back to the promised land.
It's literally the last time he was seen as a good manager. The last time he was proving himself as a great up-and-coming manager. Despite how mealy-mouthed and malnourished he looked in his playing pictures.
Look, David Moyes has many powers.
Being malnourished as an athlete,
he doesn't need food to sustain him.
No.
There are other things to power him on, like losses.
I mean, it looked like half of his skin was like atrophied in that picture, like where like a dead body. Like, what is it? Lividity had already set in, where like the blood just pools.
Yeah, no, that's it. I'm surprised at your anatomical knowledge there. It's
what I do. I surprise people.
I'm sorry. Surprising people or anatomical knowledge?
Both.
Okay, go on.
Let's go stateside.
Okay.
Where would you like to start? Not a whole lot going on.
No, nothing.
Would you like to start out with the? So here are your the four things we're going to hit on.
Okay.
We're going to hit on the U.S. youth team. Making a good run of it in the U-17 World Cup.
All right. Sounds like a great place to start.
That's probably...
We'll keep that in mind.
Literally one of the only positive things we're talking about in this segment.
Sure.
We have USL playoffs, which obviously for you, not positive.
No, did not go well.
We have the NASL's ideas and things happening within them. And then we have a crew... No, excuse me. Not Crew SC. The Columbus Crew being moved to Austin, Texas?
Yeah, that's the thing that is being rumored now. Doesn't sound like it's done.
Yeah, sounds like you want to start there. We're starting there.
Okay.
All right. Bullet point one, sadness. This is sad.
I don't know how much I can offer in this whole discussion.
Sure, you can.
Given my role with a team that's also trying to get into that league.
You can just lean back at certain points and I'll just take the wheel.
I've been leaning back plenty tonight, but let's just say this much. As a former season ticket holder, as a 21-year-long fan of this club, this sucks, and not just for me, but for a whole swath of people across the state of Ohio and elsewhere. I have literally nothing but sympathy for anyone who's caught in this particular spot. I certainly have aligned myself with particular interests within American soccer, but at the same time, I would never align myself in a capacity where I'd feel like this is something that should happen to any fan base, let alone one that I've been so integrally marked along with. So, it sucks. And, I think a lot of people would say that they would wish it could work out in different manners, and, we'll have to wait and see where it goes. But at the same time, I feel for everyone who's caught in this plight.
All right. Lean back.
Okay.
Let's talk. The following is only my opinion.
Yeah, this is Jeremy Lance who's about to speak here.
Yes, not DJ Schweitzer. Mm-hmm. He is watching archery.
Mm-hmm.
That's airing at 11 p.m. on the NBC Sports Network.
Look, I'm really into Korean archery. Okay.
Well, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's talk what we all know. We all know that Anthony Precourt didn't just come up with this idea last Monday or the week before or the week before that. This clearly, as it's been pointed out by articles in the Columbus Business Journal and elsewhere that this was a orchestrated move that at least that we know of and that's being shown and in any official capacity has been orchestrated for the last few months by not just Precourt, but also MLS front office. And if you really sit there and read the tea leaves, this has possibly been the plan since moment one in 2013 when Precourt signed away all that money to the Hunt family in order to purchase the Columbus Crew and the stadium. By the way, that goes with it. This is robbery. This is cruel. This is horrible. This is one of the more disgusting things I've seen. Listen, it's been a while since this has happened in American sports, where something a team has been just ripped away from a city that clearly still had love for it. You know, we can point at things. The Atlanta Thrashers leaving Atlanta. There was, I think, 20 people that met in a parking lot to protest that.
Yeah.
Atlanta moved on just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I count myself as a quasi-member of that fan base. As living in the South around that time, I did get my hockey fix by watching and attending Thrashers games. That did not hit to the levels that this is hitting to. This is the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Colts leaving in the cover of darkness. This is the cruel business, and I'm just going to do this to take care of me and screw this entire city. You know, F you and the horse you rode in on. I'm out of here. This is what this is, and it shows it by the fact that the clause in the agreement back in 2013 included, oh, by the way, you got to keep it in Columbus for 10 years.
Except for this one city.
Except for like, oh, I don't know, this one city. Let's make it Austin, Texas. Yeah. We'll make it that one. That doesn't seem plausible. Mm-mm. We'll just throw that in there. We were going to go Topeka, Kansas, but we decided just at the flip of a coin to just write Austin, Texas in there. When you decide, hey, you know what 2017 is going to be about? It's going to be about auto renewals for our season tickets.
Okay.
Because, guys, you know, we don't want to have to hassle you with you know, making sure that you re-up.
Mm-mm.
And go through the whole rigmarole.
No, you wouldn't.
We're just going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it for you, and we're going to have a deadline. And that deadline's going to pass. And then, oh, by the way, guys, we might be moving the team.
Mm.
Oh, no, not refundable, actually.
No.
Not refundable.
No.
Was that your next question?
Yeah.
Not refundable.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That would have been my next one for sure.
This is just disgusting. I consider myself, like you, a fan of the Crew. Mm-hmm. I consider myself someone who follows this team to a pretty good level. I don't live in Columbus. I've never had season tickets. I mean, we just talked about it. I literally went to my first Crew game ever like a month ago.
Yeah. We talked about it right here.
Yeah.
Sitting on these couches.
Yeah. I feel pain on a certain level because it's a team I like and I just understand the ramifications. But the ramifications are this. There are people who their past 20 years of their life, the thing they do with their family, the thing they do with their friends, the reason they have the friends that they have is because of this team. And the fact that just because some Bay Area playboy wants to try out another city with, oh, by the way, the exact same problems the current city you have also will have. I don't know if you know this. The Longhorns, a bit of a big deal in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
So college football, going to be a competitor, just like it is in Columbus.
Ugh. Conquer and divide?
This is, this is the worst of American sports.
Well, I'd love
you
to...
You can lean back forward now.
I'd love to say that I disagree with much of that. Look, again, this sucks. Like, there's so many people that lose in this situation. And I, while I hesitate to say this is who should or shouldn't move on, I think it's pretty clear that the people who are moving on are just... There are people who see benefit in this situation, and they're the ones who want this to move on in a way that makes sense for them. There are a lot of people who are losing out here, and
I mean, we know a ton of people that are heavily invested in this club, either as longtime, you know, Nordeca, you know, supporters.
Mm-hmm.
We know people who work within the organization that, from all accounts, were just as blindsided as you and I and everyone else were when this news came down, which speaks to the crappiness and the cold-heartedness of this whole situation. You know, we know people that are going to be affected by this in mm-hmm. ways that a lot of people listening are just going like, wow, this is a crazy story that I'm following. Wow, this is – can you believe this is actually happening? That and like what those people are dealing with are two different levels. So I would caution people, if you just think, hey, this is just crazy, please note that this is like affecting people in very serious ways. And B, if you are one of those types that are seeing the good out of this or mm-hmm. think that this is just fine, A, again, know that this is affecting people, and B, like, understand that, like, this is just not an okay thing. And this is not just something that you should be like, yeah, oh well.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the next few months hold. There's obviously a movement that's sprung up here in Ohio that's trying to keep the town populated with the soccer team.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they're offering money, but according to Precourt, the team's not for sale.
Mm.
It's just for moving purposes only. But don't worry, if they get that downtown stadium in that area that there's no space for, they'll totally stay. But it's got to be publicly financed, even though they are not going to be seeking public money in Austin, from what it seems.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So that money only spends in Austin.
Sure.
So there's that. Hey, let's talk about the NASL.
Yeah, why not?
Let's move on. Mm-hmm. So here's where we're at with NASL.
Mm-hmm.
This week we learned that thanks to our friends at Sock Takes, Nipun and the gang were able to uncover the fact that the San Francisco Deltas that are just conveniently going to be giving away all their remaining merchandise at mm-hmm. their final home game this weekend did not sign the letter of intent for the 2018 season.
Oh, weird.
They join the FC Edmonton
mm-hmm.
in not signing that.
So... writing on the wall.
Right. I would say the Deltas, it seems like they're done. I mean, that was a tough situation anyways. San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
not cheap to live in. So they were having to pay their players more, pay their staff more than you would for any other team.
Sure.
You know, some guy, you know, you bring in a player that was making kind of a lower base level NASL salary level. And like, he was playing for like the Indy 11 and you bring him over to you know, to this San Francisco Deltas team, he's gonna be living in a cardboard box.
Mm.
He can't afford to do anything on that salary
at best.
So they had to pay these guys a lot more. They are not near any other teams,
like, right?
Edmonton, who is now joining them and pop essentially not coming back, was basically the closest team to them.
Mm.
And that's not close at all.
No, like not even remotely close.
So this team seems to be done. Unfortunate for the fan base they did have that did invest their time and money and effort and emotions into it. It's that's a bummer.
Yeah.
FC Edmonton seems to be a different situation. It all signs point to the fact that they're just going to hang around and wait for the this Canadian league to start up.
Yeah.
That just makes sense.
Yeah, the Canadian Premier League. Yeah, it makes total sense for them. There's a lot of talk of multiple teams that are currently involved in the U.S. pyramid making the jump over there. None of the MLS ones, by the way.
Oh, really? No, Toronto FC is not going to take their supporter shield until they're walking?
No, no, not at this point. So that makes sense for them. There are a couple of California teams that are looking to backfill into the role of San Francisco FC will be vacating.
Yeah.
There's the new San Diego 1904, which is either a really clever Ron Burgundy quote reference or some weird hipster.
Some like weird hipster inside San Diego, like some 19, San Diego local.
19 legit. Being the S.
Yeah, 19th letter of the alphabet.
19th letter of the alphabet, and then 4 being the 4th letter of the alphabet, which would be D, SD, well, San Diego.
Also, when the Germans
conquered
San Diego.
Yeah, in a whale's vagina.
Yep.
Mm.
So we have that. We have the Orange County team coming in. I don't know what their name is yet. Orange County?
SC?
SC?
Yeah, probably.
The OC?
Sure. First episode, make it happen.
Did you watch that show? Were you in OC?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I did not either.
No. Or I'm not passing judgment.
Phantom Planet's a good band.
I'm just kidding. I'm definitely judging all of you. If anyone's nodding their head, then I used to watch that show. Yeah, super people. Judgment all over the place.
I'll give you Phantom Planet and nothing else.
Okay.
So those aren't the only teams allegedly coming. Well, those aren't alleged. Those are actually coming.
Those are the ones we know, yeah.
There is, again, back to our friends over at Sock Take, NASL is kind of their bread and butter, so when news breaks in that league, look to them to be the ones breaking it.
Sure.
Multiple, upwards of like 4 or 5 NPSL teams are going to join the NASL, I guess D3 ranks, next year. And according to Sock Take's, the current NASL teams, the ones that did sign the letter of intent for 2018, are going to help finance these clubs, such as Detroit City, Hartford FC, and then other ones that are completely escaping my mind right now.
Sure.
But I'm sure they're really awesome.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
Listen, we both worked in the NPSL.
Mm-hmm.
NPSL, clubs range as far as their levels of operation from ones that are basically an extension of a youth academy to ones like, you know, Detroit City that really try to do it full bore.
Sure.
Most
of them do not fall in the latter category.
No, there's very few, there's very few Detroit Cities out there.
Yeah.
There are a lot of academy teams that field college summer league teams, essentially.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works.
It's a huge jump.
That's a huge jump, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's from the unofficial fourth division to third division is a chasm.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, a side like Detroit City, who get large attendances, will be able to raise their prices enough that it will probably be able to offset all of it. But not everyone's going to be able to have that luxury.
Right. But like, so Detroit City, I mean, they were a team that has done very well in NPSL the past couple of years.
Sure.
But they were a team that, like most successful NPSL teams, their rosters are made up of college players vis-a-vis. They do not pay their players. So they're going from a player budget of effectively zero to, you know, probably, if we're talking NASL, I mean, that's a payroll that's going to be around like, well, like $500,000 to $1 million? I mean, that's going to be a sizable.
At least. It depends on what happens with the future of the league. There's so much up in the air that you don't know what division they're going to be, how much the average or even non-average is going to look like right now, because some people may want to just stay through the end. And you look at a team like Tampa, they got Joe Cole, Marcel Schaefer. Those are effective players. Maybe it doesn't make sense for them to keep him around any longer than they want him to be.
Right.
This gives them an opportunity to do that way.
Yeah, I mean, you have guys like Drogba and Wright Phillips that are hanging out in Phoenix at the Division II level. So, I mean, there's guys that
say,
hey, I'll hang around and get paid whatever. Or if you're Drogba, you're technically also an owner.
Right. So, double dipping.
It's a way to do it. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the third thing. USL playoffs.
Hooray.
Round of 16 happened this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
FC Cincinnati flew down to Tampa. You didn't go on that trip.
No, I did
not. You were debating if you were going to have to.
Mm-hmm. I'm here, so clearly it did not happen.
If you guessed not going, you win.
Yes.
Rough match.
Yeah, it didn't go very well. Obviously, Tampa came out 3-0 winners.
Mm-hmm.
I thought FC Cincinnati actually played pretty well, aggressive on the front foot. Took it to Tampa for a lot of the early stretches in the match. But as things happen sometimes when you're going for it, when you commit men forward, the opposing side are able to do
that. Yeah, and that was definitely that first goal there. It was completely on the counter. One that Mitch will probably want back.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, Tampa's kind of had FC Cincinnati's number, though.
They have. You look at that Tampa side, though, and it's chock full of what I consider match winners.
Yeah.
Joe Cole's in there. Marcel Schaefer, that was three goals and two three goals in three matches.
This is the guy they got from like Wolfsburg or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Former German international. Look, he's been a big deal for them, and he showed up and did it today. And that's something that our team needs to learn how to do before we can probably get it any further with everything.
Elsewhere, Charleston Battery, the top team in the East, got ethered by the Red Bulls too.
Ethered. Okay.
Yeah. Would you prefer ethered? I also wrote down here. Just dissolved in a bowl of acid.
Both would be fine. It depends on the circumstances.
I mean, they got it taken to them. Red Bulls kind of showing their might that didn't show as much during the regular season. They weren't the just juggernaut that they were in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
But now, oh boy. Good luck, Tampa.
Turning it on when the time is right.
You follow this league obviously better as someone who works within the league. I mean, who's kind of the front runner at this point? And now after this first round to go all the way.
Well, I mean, considering out west that Real Salt Lake's B team and the Monarchs are dumped out too. That's the other top seed.
Yeah, they lost all but on penalties to. Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at the sides who are currently left who are at the top to kind of get a feel for what's going on. Louisville City, that's a team that are functioning well at the moment.
4-0 win?
Yeah, that's right.
Luke Spencer again, one of those?
Yeah, as you do.
Saints for life?
Forever and ever.
Yeah, I guess they have to kind of be one of the big ones people are going to pick on. I guess either them or the Red Bulls coming out of the East seems very likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you had to pick a team that would be likely to do it right now, it's the defending champs. And then obviously Louisville with their incredible track record, their good first round showing as well. They'll be able to do a whole lot.
All right, let's move on to the one somewhat positive story.
Mm-hmm.
And that somewhat was some inky. Not ultimately dark cloud. The U.S. under 17 men's team in the U-17 World Cup out in India made it out of group stages.
Did well.
Yep. And they were given England in their, second round match.
Yep.
I forget even who they beat in the first one. First round, what was that? Paraguay? Someone?
It's not ringing a bell.
They beat somebody. Sure. It's late, folks.
Yeah.
They beat somebody.
It's too late.
And they took on England. England got by on penalties, which was like, that was a big joke. Like, oh, hey, an England team actually won on penalties.
Mm-hmm.
They squared off Saturday morning. England taking it to them, though, jumped out to early lead and held it. 4-1 winners all told. My question is really not like, hey, what do you make of this? Because, I don't know about you. I didn't watch a whole lot of the U-17 World Cup.
Sure.
And can't really do a whole lot of, analysis and breakdown on it. My question is this. We do know some of those players.
Sure.
Who are you tabbing to be a part of the U.S. men's national team, the first team, the senior team, for this upcoming next cycle, since we are, you know, no longer caring about this cycle.
Oh, man. Oh, just...
Sergeant, so, obviously, is the one that jumps out to everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's probably an easy one.
Also, he fills a role. A little less
threatening, yeah.
He fills a role. Like, we're kind of thin at striker.
And then we're working it together. Machine something up.
So I would definitely say he would be kind of the one guy for me that definitely is someone I'm looking forward to probably be part of that team. I mean, he was the guy scoring most of the goals for the side.
That's right.
Outside of that, you know, Andrew Carlton, the young kid at Atlanta United, I think that's a guy that probably you got to think eventually works his way into getting a cap or two here soon.
Yeah. I mean, I think the key right now is for any of these guys who are potentially able to play for other national teams is cap tying them.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding a way to continue the development once that's happened.
And then Tim Wee? Is it Wee or Way?
Weah. Yeah, so Tim Weah.
He was good.
Yeah.
I believe he had a hat trick in their first knockout round game.
Mm-hmm.
Against that mystery team that we were blanking on.
Yeah. His father's a former FIFA World Player of the Year. Was mm-hmm. phenomenal for AC Milan back in the day. Could soon be the Liberian president. I think it's Liberia, yeah, which would be kind of like if Baron Trump and ended up going and playing for Slovenia. So,
and Arsenal.
Yeah, and both.
By the way, it was Paraguay. And okay. It was a 5-0 victory.
Okay, there we go.
So I was right. I was right in the main when I said Paraguay.
I'm happy for you.
I'm very happy for myself.
Yeah.
Let's move to MLS.
Okay.
Season's over.
It is over.
Regular season finished today as it was decision day. I don't know if you did you watch much of it? Did you watch the ESPN whip around that they had?
No, I didn't.
I did. It was actually pretty good.
Okay. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did. There was not a whole lot to be settled.
That was why I opted not to do it.
Yeah, today. It was essentially just some seeding out east and then who's going to grab that final spot out west.
And it was pretty drama-free.
Yeah, for the most part. There was teams going for that final spot, including FC Dallas, Real Salt Lake, and San Jose. San Jose ended up being the one to capture that, despite the fact that FC Dallas wins 5-1 over LA Galaxy. It was the Earthquakes getting it based on, I forget the fact that in MLS, the first tiebreaker is not goal differential, it's wins.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that San Jose had a negative 21 goal differential and FC Dallas had a 0 goal differential.
Yeah.
They get jumped by San Jose because San Jose had 13 wins, FC Dallas has 11 wins. So here we have it. It'll be Portland and Seattle mm-hmm. out west. They will be the ones that get to await the winners of the knockout rounds.
Oh, man. They're both hoping for each other.
Oh, yeah. Eventually, I think that's where they want to end up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this, by the way. Clint Dempsey will not be in that match whenever they do play it. As he got a red card
mm-hmm.
Today with a pretty vicious elbow. So it'll be Vancouver hosting San Jose, and then Houston hosting Sporting Kansas City. Those will be the knockouts that'll go on to play Portland and Seattle.
Sure.
Out east, obviously, the Supporters Shield winners on 69 points, which I believe is like a record.
Yep, Toronto FC 2. Or excuse me.
Just the regular Toronto.
Just the regular.
Toronto FC 2. Did not win.
They went the opposite end of the table. Ignore that.
The feature does not look right for Toronto.
No.
Yeah, they will need to build out from the transfer window and the free market, and not through their reserve system right now.
Watch out, they're going to do it in USL now.
So they win the Sporters Shield, so they're at top. That's been known for weeks. New York City FC hold on to second place. They had challengers. They ended up drawing with Columbus here in the final day. Atlanta, though, also drew with Toronto. Atlanta was kind of the one everyone was looking at to possibly jump them.
Sure.
They did not. So it'll be Toronto, New York. They will await the winners of Chicago. Will host the Red Bulls. That's going to be a good one.
No better way to put out the fire than with a bunch of energy drink.
Golden Boot winner on that fire squad. Nikolic.
Yeah. Great. 24 great goals for them. I mean, he's certainly pacing the league at this point, and has been worth every penny they brought in. This is why you spend on DPs sometimes.
And then the Columbus Crew will have to go down to Atlanta to play a side that is very good at scoring goals.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about this one.
It's going to be a very tall task for them.
For sure.
You know, Atlanta scored 70 goals
this
season. Only Toronto outdoing them in the league. Crew, you know, Berhalter is going to have to put out a lineup a la you know, FC Cincinnati against the MLS sides, of just a very defensive minded. We're going to play on the counter and we're going to ride this bad boy out kind of formation.
Yeah.
That
usually doesn't work all that well.
No, but might as well give it a go. I don't know what your other options
are. There are strategies, and that is one of them.
I mean, if you're just going to try to outshoot Atlanta, I would say that's also a terrible decision.
Yeah. Those type of things don't normally go well at all.
Winners and wankers?
Yeah, I think it sounds about right for that time. Do you want to do the honors, or do you want to flip it up? A little differentiation for tonight?
Yeah, you can go winners.
What if I go wanker first?
Okay, go wanker first. Just go outside of the box here.
Oh, look, there's so many wankers this week.
It's a lot of...
There's more wank to go around than... Look, I don't even need to give out winner this week, period. I could just give out wankers to endless. We could have done a whole podcast just on people who I felt deserved wankers.
I just realized I have a ref booklet in my hand, so you can go red card.
Oh my gosh. But if I'm going to give it to someone this week for utter contempt, for absolutely no logical reason in the way that they were thinking, even in the light of everything that seems right in the world, I'm going to give it to the Everton fan.
Oh.
Who tried to punch an opposing player while holding his small child.
I mean, credit to him for, you know, not just letting his child wander off. Like, hey, I'm going to set you down over here, child. I'm going to go over here and try to fight a professional athlete.
That would be ideal, but that's not how this works. So
what if the child also took a swing at the guy?
Oh my God.
Would that have been the
most British thing in the world?
Or like had like, you know, like some like rattle or something, just smack the guy in the head with it.
Whack. Luckily now they're connected, but he's still getting it. What looks to be a lifetime ban from Everton over it. So
what about the small child? Is the small child also banned?
I don't know. I hope not. But if he's not, one would question how he's going to get here from here on out.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my wanker. Because it's almost along the same lines as what you're talking about.
Okay.
Since you did not watch MLS today, I'll just assume you did not see this.
Yeah.
Chelsea Altidore being attacked by flying beer cups.
Oh, yeah.
In Atlanta. And you wonder, like, is this just Atlanta fans going like, hey, we don't like Toronto? Or is this like, hey, thanks for effing up the World Cup?
I think it's more the former.
I think it's a little more the latter than we would care to think.
Okay.
I think part of it is like, hey, because I mean, he wasn't the only Toronto player to make himself available to flying beer cups.
It's true.
And yeah.
There were others.
Giovinco did pick one of the ones up and that was thrown at Jose and took a sip out of it.
Yeah.
That was pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not as good as the time Landon Donovan put those sunglasses on that were thrown at him.
Or the best all-time something thrown from the stands and a player doing with it, Danny Alves picking up a banana and taking a bite of it. Like, definitely one of the highlights at all time.
Thanks. I was low on potassium.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for there.
My winner, just because this has been a crazy week,
mm-hmm.
and we needed stories that were at least going to give us a chuckle.
Positivity.
And Sam Allardyce throwing his name in the ring for the U.S. men's national team.
Oh, you know
job.
How that conversation went. It was like, hey, Sam, what do you think of, you know, there's an open position for the U.S. men's national team. He went, I'd be in for that.
Well, yeah. Most unemployed people would be in for employment. Like, this is, duh.
No. Not going to work at all. So
it's not like he, like, isn't a national team coach right now because of some kind of, like, scandal or anything.
No.
So he has, like, no baggage he would
No, he, it's not like he's been trying to tell people how to sign players for cheaper or for free.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
I mean, so he should be good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mine this week, I really struggled to pick because, again, there was so much negativity to, like, sort through and your mind dwells in those particular areas. But this week, I went for something that was selfish because I needed something to recluse myself into to kind of peel it away. And where I'm giving it to and who I'm giving it to is actually to Harry Kane.
Hmm.
And I'm giving it to him.
This is your winner, right?
Yeah, this is my winner.
I'm giving it to him
by way of Roy Keane, a guy who is passionately known as someone who hates everything in soccer that's not anything to do with him. And I'm giving it to Harry Kane because Roy Keane reversed what Sir Alex Ferguson has always said about Spurs. And the famous line that Sir Alex said to his United charges as they were getting ready to wrap up yet another title was, "Lads, it's Tottenham." And Keane said this week that that's no longer the case. It's not just Tottenham. They're among Europe's elite and they belong to be there. And
you talking about the Harry Kane team?
Yeah, the Harry Kane team. The one man show. And Harry Kane's kind of the reason why that happens. It's because of him, this one world-class player. Someone, by the way, who was not classed as world-class by another really well-distinguished talking head within the English game. But Harry drags us there, and today we saw that again on the field. And I needed something this week to make me feel a little bit better. And Harry Kane getting a winner is at least a tiny sliver of positivity that I needed in this week.
I mean, doesn't it also help the fact that, like, the two brightest stars in English football play for Tottenham?
Well, I mean, that doesn't hurt anything.
Like, the national team right now is, like, the two best players on the national team are Tottenham players.
Sure, yeah.
I would say that helps.
Mm-hmm.
That just helps from a branding standpoint.
Yeah, and then third is Harry Winks, too, so, yeah, we can... Maybe not him too.
Him as well. Him too. Let's wrap this show up.
Yeah, it's about that time. As always, thanks for listening in. Comments, questions, concerns, things you want to talk about. Seriously, give us stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking, we're not suggesting. We're asking
because we're hoping for a light week of news.
Yeah, because it's been too heavy for sure. Get a hold of us. Jeremy is at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. You can get a hold of me at Wrong Side of Pond. The email, if you're one of those old-fashioned people that likes it that way. The things that shortly followed after the telegraph. Contact at Wrong Side of the Pond.
Smoke signals.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke signals at Wrong Side of the Pond.
Yeah. Jeremy's the one who's reading all those. So if he gets it wrong, you know who to blame.
Well, you need to send DJ stuff because the season's over now, so you've got all the time in the world.
Yeah, sure.
Hands, right?
I'm sure that's how this will work.
You'll just kick your feet up on that desk and just eat bonbons and watch soap operas or something.
Where does anyone even buy Bon Bon?
I don't think that's on the been on the market for things anymore? 20 years. I don't know.
We have younger listeners who are going, what the fuck are Bon Bons?
Hostess products.
Yeah, are they Hostess?
I don't know.
All right. Well, sure, I'll be eating those now.
All right, folks.
Give me something to do.
Bye.
Bye.